This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably. So welcome back to Hot Breath, everyone, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. Today's episode is a part of our monthly $100 joke contest where members of our Patreon compete to write a new set in 7 days, and the winner gets $100. So if that's something you're interested in, or if you're just struggling to create new material, this contest is a great way to help you get paid to write new jokes. And our winner today is a repeat winner. He is back to join us today to break down how he wrote such a killer set in just 7 days. And just to refresh your memory, if you didn't watch this live in our Facebook group, here is Johnny's set, and then we're going to bring him live on the air with us. Enjoy.
Feeling powerful is easy nowadays. Back in the day, you had to conquer countries or rule over kingdoms. What do I need? The TV remote. The TV remote to me is what a scepter is to a king. Forget the president. Even I've got my finger on the button. Going to restaurants feels powerful. The waitstaff always call me sir. It's like being a knight. The last one I went to even had round tables. My phone makes me feel powerful. I've started speaking into the microphone to make it write my messages for me. So now I'm even a dictator. Yeah. God is powerful, and I identify with him. There's only one of me. I'm pretty judgmental, and I love a lazy Sunday. My mum says the most powerful thing ever written is I Have a Dream. And I agree. It's probably ABBA's best song. Money makes me feel powerful. And that's the one thing I never have. Forget business tycoons. I am a business typhoon. When I have money, I just blow it away.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Johnny Smith, welcome back, my friend. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing well here. It's nice, good to nice. You're back in the captain's chair here. You've won yet again. What's going on over there, Johnny?
Not much, really. Yeah, I mean, it's Scotland, but the weather is incredible right now. It is so sunny, like, which is completely not normal for this part of the world, but it's great. I mean, you know, other than that, you know, just a lot of writing, a lot of watching movies. I mean, not much is going on in my life right now.
When you say a lot of writing, how much writing are you talking here?
I'm trying to do like at least 2 hours a day.
2 hours a day? That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
How? Like, at least. How are you doing that?
How? I don't know. There's nothing. I've got a lot of free time right now because of the pandemic. I think I used to be in London, but as soon as the pandemic hit, I ran away and sort of waiting out in my little bunker, my childhood home with my mom and dad. And I have nothing to do, really. So I'm spending the time writing, really, and watching movies, playing PlayStation. But yeah, a lot of writing.
So, yeah, that's something everyone, like, would like to do more of is write. And to be 2 hours a day is incredible. Like, how do you schedule it, or how do you remain disciplined in doing it 2 hours a day?
I just find the time. Like, I don't do it at a set time every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I think, like, genuinely, like, it is really easy right now because, I mean, the world has stopped. I mean, I don't know what it's like in America. I think America might be opening up a little bit. But here in Scotland, like, it is gone. Like, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of time right now. Lot of time.
And what does that writing look like? What is kind of your process?
The thing that I've been experimenting with nowadays is not trying to force jokes.
Mm.
Like, I don't try and write a certain amount of jokes a day. I don't even you know, like, not to say I don't try to write jokes, but if I get to the end of the session having not written one, I don't really panic. I think for me, it's mostly just about picking a subject, exploring the subject in as much detail as possible, and just sort of finding the jokes as I go. And sometimes I write 5 jokes a day, and sometimes I write none. I used to really beat myself up over that, but I'm just trying to take the pressure off myself and just try to have more fun, just explore and just see what happens. And I think doing that, writing has become a lot more fun, and the jokes that I'm writing have become a lot more personal as well.
Ooh, when you don't like force yourself to have to find something funny, you're just showing up to write for the sake of the habit.
Yeah.
Ooh. So when you're diving into this 7-day adventure of a Write 10 contest, so like for the theme was powerful. So
yeah,
you get the theme, 7 days. Where do you go now? Where do you start?
I did it differently to how I've done every other contest so far. I think this time, I sat down. I put 2 hours aside in the day to just make mind maps.
Yeah.
And that's literally all I did. I just made mind maps. And sometimes that's the only thing I did. but a lot of the time, you just pick up words. Like the dictator joke, I wrote the word powerful in the middle. I was like, what do I associate with power? I was like, kings, queens, dictator. And then, like, that's why, like, Write 10 Club, doing that every single day is so good. Because you have that joke writing muscle in your head, right? Like, the more you work that, and like the second that you turn that side of your brain on, it seems like impossible to turn off again. You just see jokes everywhere. So I literally just wrote down the word dictator, and I was like, oh, that's got double meaning. And then I think the very first day writing, I'd made one mind map, what makes me feel powerful. I said, my phone makes me feel powerful. And it just clicked. I don't know why. I was just like, oh, people dictate to write messages, and dictate also means someone, like, you know, being powerful over a country. So I was like, it's there. That's the joke. Like, it's kind of weird because I feel like I didn't write it. I feel like I just kind of discovered it in a way, but like, it was just there. And that's how I wrote literally every single joke in this app. It was just that process. Maps. Just with mind maps, yeah.
Whoa. What was your favorite joke?
I don't know. I mean, I love them all. They're all my babies.
I love them all. Yeah.
I really liked the ABBA joke.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the last ones that I wrote. And I was really nervous about putting it in. I almost didn't put it in. I was talking about it with my dad, and I was like, how big are ABBA? How many people know ABBA? Like, is ABBA big? Then I was like, of course, yeah, people know ABBA. Then I was like, how many people know that song? I was like, I don't think that many people know that song. I was having like panic attacks over it. I was like, should I bring it in? But it was like in and out of the set like 10 times.
Wow.
But in the end, I was just like, that's fine. I'll just do it. Because I just loved it so much.
It's good. Alicia said it was the ABBA one that put it over the top. So
Yeah.
You would have actual panic attacks? Are you being serious?
It wasn't like a proper panic attack, but I was just like, I just felt really nervous about it. I was like, I don't know if this is like, I just pictured just crickets. So I was like, I don't know if this is going to go over people's heads. I don't know if people are as big an ABBA fan as I am.
how do you pick the ones? Like, you write, like, how many jokes do you think you wrote for this? Or how many minutes
of
material?
See, that's the thing, right? That's the really bad thing about the particular process that I was using. In that you do not create a lot of stuff. So I think there were 6 jokes in the set, and I've written about 20. So I picked the best 6.
Woo! That's still, though, that 20 jokes is no joke there. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, and it is, though. I mean, like, because like spending 2 hours to write one joke, I mean, it's a lot of time.
But, yeah. But you won, you know, that's been the theme with everyone that's won this contest, is like, they've written the most, basically. Yeah. I think one of the most eye-opening things, we had Scott Dickers in Hot Breath Pro talking about the creative writing process. And he said at The Onion, they would write 1,000 headlines to find one. And I was just like, I've heard 1 out of 20, but like 1 out of 1,000. And you're just like, oh, that's when you get to The Onion level, you know, it's like, oh, that's how you create content of that caliber. You put in that much work.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Are there any other insights or anything else you wanted to share?
What would be useful to talk about? I'm waiting for you to guide me here. I think one of the reasons why those sets are getting better is because of you, to be honest. And I think
now we're getting somewhere, John.
This is not just me sucking up. Like, paying the extra $30 for the feedback is the reason why I feel like I'm improving, because that feedback is gold. And like, that's the first part of the process for me before I start writing is I sit down, I rewatch your feedback. And I take a little post-it note and I put it on the desk, and that becomes like the entire ethos around how I build that particular set that month.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, if people aren't doing the feedback, you gotta do the feedback, because the feedback is brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks. And it has a cool little overlay. I designed a cool overlay this last time.
Yeah.
It's a faint. Wow. I mean, the proof is in the champ there. I don't know what else to tell y'all people. You know, get the feedback.
Yeah.
Wow. And it becomes your ethos. I was like, geez, I'm nervous to give you the feedback now because I haven't done it yet. I'm like, oh, gosh, the bar is so high now.
Yeah.
No, it's been a thrill. It's been a thrill to see people like you that do the contest every month and just see you getting better. And I do love the people that get the feedback, seeing it then applied the next time. I mean, that's part of anyone who gets feedback or takes a class. I mean, you've got to put it into action. You know, you've got to implement what you're learning, or else it's just in one ear out the other. Oh, nice. Okay, Jack said he's got to get some of that feedback as well. Yeah, I'll at your boy if you want a set review or something even outside of the contest. And Jacob, geez, Joel, take a compliment. My bad. Did I not take a compliment very well there? I didn't know. But, yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Johnny. I'm glad. You just never know what's sticking with people or what's not. You know, I mean, I love giving feedback and helping comics, but you just never know what's actually resonating or what's actually being helpful. So I appreciate you saying that. That's good feedback for me, knowing that the feedback is working. Oh, beautiful. And is this a three-peat, said Kristen? Have you won 3 times?
No, this is just the second one.
This is the second one? I thought it was the second one, but maybe she's foreshadowing. After you get this month's feedback, dude, the sky is the limit. That's all I'm going to say. But nice. Yeah, I think that was super helpful. And I think the thesis of this interview is you got to write a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for someone who is currently struggling to write a lot?
See, the thing for me, like, I used to really struggle with this, and I used to have serious writer's block. And that's the reason why I told myself that it's okay to not have a joke at the end of the session. I feel like, I don't know how other people feel, but I feel like when I was talking about, like, oh, I have nothing to write about, I think my experience of it is that I can't find anything funny to write about, or like, I'm not going to go down that road because there's not going to be a joke there. I just take that pressure off myself now. And I write about anything. Like, I write about my day, or if I've had a fight with my family, I'll write about that, and I'll document that fight word for word, just the details of the fight without trying to be funny. Like, you just write, and there's no pressure, because you don't have to write a joke. I mean, like, that is the end game, but the more pressure you take off yourself, I feel like the more likely you are to find something.
Boom. Dude, that's gold, and that's something I even talk about in last week's podcast, I posted a clip from Scott Dicker's talk that he did in Hot Breath Pro, and I shared my own experience with writer's block and just how to, you know, break through it. And part of it is take the pressure off. Like, just don't try to be funny. Don't force the funny. Sometimes, dude, I've had some days I'm like, I'm going to write today. And then I wrote the date and that was it. And I'm like, hey, I wrote today. It's like, it's an incremental build. It's like a small incremental step that's going to make the big difference. But butt in chair, period. Yeah. You've got to sit down and do it. No one's going to do it for you.
And there's a lot of things you can do to be productive as well. I feel like, I mean, this time, writing this set is the first time that I was like, all right, well, writing's not going so well, so what else can I do to be productive? So what I did was I took the jokes that I had and I looked through them. I was like, how can I make these better? You know, how can I rewrite these to make them stronger? And I wrote them different ways. And sometimes I went back to the original way it was. Sometimes I kept it. But like, just, and then another thing I did was rehearse. If I couldn't think of anything to write, I was like, right, let's just say the jokes I liked. Let's try and figure out what kind of order we want to do it in. So, I mean, like, there's other things you can do to be productive and still move towards the end goal without necessarily having to have the pressure to write.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah.
And it's, and Emmanuel, a comic from Nigeria, is in here watching us. And he said, our writing skills are different. We write according to how we feel and how our environment is. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I think how you feel is a great place to start writing from anywhere. That's why the monthly contest is an emotional theme. So you start from a feeling, and that's where you get that personal material that really connects with an audience.
Yeah. And that deadline helps as well.
Having a I've been doing comedy 11 years and I'm like, dude, this like helps me write material. Cause I've had to struggle with like, we're in a pandemic, when are live shows coming back? Where's the motivation? Like, the Write 10 Club, I would say, is like step one. It's like, get into the Write 10 Club, create the expectation of yourself to write at least a single joke every single day. 10-minute exercise, just commit to that first, and then you can start to add on more time as you build that habit. But like, Write 10 Club is almost like step one. And then to level up, step two, the contest, I would say, to then you're creating an actual set in a short amount of time that is, the sets are going to be funny just for the sake of, I only have 90 seconds. I may win $100. I got to make it as good as possible. And the outcome, if anything, is that, oh, I have new material now that's actually funny.
Yeah.
And, Jacob said, I've been writing for 2 weeks and all my jokes were long stories. Last night I decided to focus on 1 to 2 liners to get more laughs. Yeah, how do you, is your word economy, but yeah, how do you keep your jokes so tight? Like, or do you have advice for someone who is maybe a little more long-winded?
I read a book called, I've forgotten the name, but you've read it. You've recommended it. It's by Greg Dean.
Oh, the Step-by-Step to Stand-Up?
That's the one. He breaks down one-liners better than I could in a million years.
Oh,
if anyone's looking to write down, write jokes, learn how to write jokes, I'd read that book. I think when I was first starting, I just watched a lot of one-liners as well. And I just analyzed how they were doing it. Like, when I was coming up, I was watching a lot of Mitch Hedberg and a lot of Emo Phillips, a lot of Anthony Jeselnik, just sort of, because like, the more you hear it and the more you hear that style, the more it sort of gets in your head. And then it's easier to replicate.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a stylistic choice. You know, like, you can be a storyteller, but, you know, there's got to be jokes. Whatever you're doing, whatever your style is, you got to have jokes.
Once you learn that basic as well, it's very easy to, I don't know. I imagine it's easier to transition to longer sets while still having those fundamentals.
Yep. I started with one-liners with the Greg Dean book and then like started to build out longer bits from there. But I started as like a one-liner, like Mitch Hedberg was big. Rodney Dangerfield was another one I was really into.
Yeah.
And just kind of built from those fundamentals, like you said. I was trying to think. Greg Dean is actually, he'll be in, he's coming into Hot Breath Pro in April, actually. We'd like have this Pro Talk series. So we've had Judy Carter in there and Scott Dickers, and we have a few more authors coming up, and Greg Dean's going to be one of them. So it's very exciting. And Emmanuel said, what do you do if your new written bit doesn't give you the big laugh you require?
Well, on stage?
I guess so, yeah.
Panic? No.
Panic?
See, the thing about it, right, is like when I first started, bombing used to be like the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. And like when you're up there, like I genuinely did panic. Like you can feel your heart beating. The thing I noticed, from the difference between being on stage, when you're on stage and you're nervous, like I've blanked on stage and like I felt like you feel like it's forever. And then I watch back the set. And it was only like 3 seconds. Like it was no time at all.
Right.
Anyway, that's not answering the question. Sorry. You just get used to it and you just keep going. I think a good way to get through it is just to comment on it and break the tension.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, that did, like, it's as easy as like, oh, well, that went well, or well, that didn't work. Like it doesn't have to be clever or anything. Yep. Just acknowledge it and that will break the tension, which should make them laugh. But at the end of the day, bombing is part of the process, and it doesn't define you as a comic, and you'll come back stronger. And the more you bomb, the less scary it is. And it's just, after a while, it just, you just wore off a duck's back, really.
Yep. And that's what, when we did the Q&A with Kyle Kinane, he said bombing is learning. And if you're not bombing, yeah, you're not trying. So if a joke isn't working, but you believe in it, and you believe something is there, keep working on it. Like, keep finding new angles or try it at another show. Just because it doesn't work once doesn't mean the joke is now dead. You know, try it 10 times and see what kind of results you're getting, and then you can start adjust it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you got to try something more than once. Because it could just be, like, sometimes the audience that sucks and not you.
You just never know. Yeah. That's why why you have to perform so much. That's what it requires. Yeah. You have to live on stage to really develop the material. Jacob said, I can't wait to get on stage for the first time and bomb.
Oh my God. My first set was a nightmare, honestly. My first 30 sets were a nightmare.
First 30? I was going to say, my first 5 years. Did you bomb your first time?
Oh, wow. I did everything wrong my first time. Like, I bombed and I blanked. And, like, I didn't have, like, a set list, nor did I have it memorized. I just had it, like, typed out on, like, some, like, 6 pieces of A4. And I kept losing my place. And I kept trying to read. And I couldn't find the bit in the set where I was. And my hands are shaking, so I can't see the page. And the audience is just staring at me. Yeah.
A4? A4? Huh? Is that paper?
Yeah, I'm like, just A4 bits of paper. I typed it up. And
what's
I printed
A4?
It up.
What is A4?
Oh, A4?
Is it a size?
Yeah. Do you not have that?
We don't say A4.
What do you say?
Paper?
Yeah. Like, A4 is like a standard printing paper.
Like, just 8.5 by 11?
Sounds about right.
That's... A4 is so much easier to say than 8.5 by 11. That's what I'd be like, yeah, can you put that on 8.5 by 11? A4 is so much easier. Yeah, we don't say that at all here. We have it all backwards. We like it big here and clunky, you know. We like our words obese like our society. I think that's how we're not big on word economy here or any sort of economic diet. Anyway. Oh yeah, okay. Oh, Robin said standard or college ruled. Yeah, that's actually, I guess that's a more efficient way of saying it as well. Maybe I say 8.5 by 11, and maybe it's me that needs to go to school on paper. But you're on stage and it's just like shaking.
I can't read it. And then for some reason I thought I had 5 minutes of material. It's my first time on stage. 3 minutes into the set, ran out of material. Like, instead of the audience hasn't laughed once.
Right.
Instead of just being like, all right, I'm going, I decided to riff the last 2 minutes of the set. And that just went so bad. It started bad, it got worse. And then I just sort of like tottered off the stage, just slow clapping. Like it was just, it was just a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare.
That's
what it was like every time for like the first 30.
That's for 30. It's just you a nervous wreck on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I feel you on that. Mine was like, I didn't have paper on stage. I mean, I didn't bomb, but I didn't kill. People just smiled as if I was their son.
Yeah.
Like just politely, people just politely smiled. There was like five people there and they all worked at the venue, but it wasn't, I remember it going good enough for me to like want to do it again. But if it didn't go well for you, what made you come back? How did you come back?
Well, like before doing stand up, I just read a lot of bombing stories from comedians that I respect. And they were like, you probably, like, a lot of people, like, I think it's very rare to do well your first time. And yeah. I think Louis C.K., he talks about like how his first time on stage was like so shockingly bad that he didn't perform for another 2 years later. And like, I was like, so like when I did that, I was like, oh, I'm a comedian now. Like, I'm like, you know, my experience is the same as people who I admire. So it just felt normal to me. I just felt like it was part of the process.
Yep, it is. Dude, that feels like a podcast. I feel like there could be a podcast just about people's first times. Is there one?
I don't know. I mean, it's a good idea.
People watching or listening, we're going to edit this out. This is our podcast now. We're going to do this. We're going to release it under the Hot Breath Comedy Network. So if anyone wants to host that, let me know. And then I will tell you all the real work that a podcast requires that isn't just you saying something and then it appearing on the internet. And we'll put it in beta. We'll test it in Hot Breath Pro and see how it goes. So there you go. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, it's probably too late. But maybe you stole the idea and you've released it before us. Anyway, sorry. That was my ADD. We're like, there's an idea. I'm like, oh, there's an idea. Yeah. Let's go do that. And then we'll add it to the list of 100 other ideas, that we'll just get done 10%. It's like, let's have 10 ideas. We do 10% instead of one idea. We do 100%. That's how you get things done. Oh, yeah. Alicia said the Art of Bombing podcast. That's what made me think of it, is that Dan does the podcast about bombing. I didn't know if there was one just about first times, because they're not always bombs. But and that book was Step by Step to Stand Up by Greg Dean, which, yeah, that's the first book. That's the only book I've actually read cover to cover. I never finished another one. But if you're looking to write like one-liners, that's the gold standard for me. And if you're not in Hot Breath Pro, join it, and then you can actually meet him and ask your questions directly to the author of the book. But I think we'll land this plane here.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. I know you got a busy day, Johnny.
Yeah. Can I just say thank you to everyone who voted, and just congratulations to Tom and CJ. I thought their sets were really good. So I just wanted to say that. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't apologize for being nice. It's all right.
They were brilliant.
Everyone had great sets. Yeah, they were really good.
Yeah, it could have been any one of us. Like, yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I mean, CJ's was so dark but funny. And then Tom's was so, like, honest, but, like, about, like, being addicted to cocaine. I just love where the themes take people's brains. And he's like, cocaine, powerful, you know. And then he created this, like, super personal set about it. And, yeah, it was very funny. So
solid.
Yeah. So thank you, Johnny. Where can people connect with you and like keep up with you?
I am still, as I was last time, completely off grid. but if people want to add me on Facebook, reach out. By all means, yeah. Just type my name, send a friend request. I'll accept, and we can, you know, yeah, cool.
Nice. That's Johnny. Yeah. Well, thank you, Johnny Smith. Give you an nice applause you. There. And thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us live in our Facebook group where we stream this and do our daily writing club. If you want to join the contest and maybe win $100 and write new material in the process, just go into the description of the show, and join our Patreon to where you'll be automatically entered every month to win this $100 joke contest. And if you want to level up your comedy, Hot Breath Pro is a great place to do that, where you'll get to connect with me and other comedians of the Hot Breathiverse, and then people like we said, like Greg Dean in there, that you can actually get direct feedback from. So all Hot Breath is here to help cultivate the next generation of great comics, and we appreciate you hanging out with us today, and we will see you next time, everyone. Thank you. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.